I mean, and I'm so blessed because we have people who have giftings to be able to have visions and seeing, and we have an openness where we can share. How would we ever know? How would Reggie ever know that Kelly had that vision had she not shared? So this importance that we have in our body to be able to share is good. Otherwise, how would we know? How would we ever know that someone else had another vision? And how would we get the confirmation, and how would we be encouraged in the Lord? But that's just one example, but I think it's a pretty mighty one because we want to see our president free. We love Obama. Is that funny? The truth of the matter is God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And if it was only Obama in the world, He would have died anyway. Because He loves, and we just heard the scripture, God is love. He that does not love does not know God. So, go back one. That's the title. The Path to Fulfilling God's Plan. Lord, we just thank You that You have a plan and that we are in that plan and that You care about us and that You are the one who set the plan in place and You're the one who will see it through. So we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have a question for you. Is there a path for you? You might want to ask yourself that. Is there a path for you? Second question. Are you in the lead? Or are you following? Kind of a tough question because I'll give you the answer. Yes, there is a path for you. And as children of God, it says those who are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. So, there is a path. We're to be followers, not leaders. And God is watching over that. So when's the last time you told the Lord, I surrender and I'm going to let You lead from now on. I will follow You. We probably need to say that every morning. Because the gravity pull is to take over. I'll be in charge, thank you. And don't be telling me what to do. That's the first thing that comes out of our mouth when we grow up, right? Mommy tells you to do something, no. I don't want to. So we gotta, you know, that's our old carnal nature. Well, I'm telling you, our Father is continually training and disciplining or making us disciples. He's training, disciplining, making us disciples of Him to follow and not to lead. He's not making you a disciple to be the leader, but to be the follower. The path you're on is selected and ordained by God. And we are to be surrendered to Him and not be, and then enter His rest. Enter into some rest. You're not just by happenstance. And the things that are going on in your life are not just happenstance. They're actually someone watching over that. You know, that verse in 1 Peter, and I remember preaching on this many times, but it talks about your salvation and how things have been secured and set aside and guarded over for you concerning your salvation. That's good. That's very good that that's really going on. And it says, in this you greatly rejoice. And we should greatly rejoice in that. But then it goes on to say, even though now, for a little while, you've been distressed by various trials. No, wait a minute, I missed something. What does it really say? It says, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. It's for the proving of your faith, which is more precious than gold, which is refined by fire. And I had to stop and say, who's watching over this to see if it's necessary or not? Who's calling that shot? Says, this is necessary, Steve. I mean, who's doing that? I mean, it better be somebody who's really knows whether it's necessary or not, right? You know, sometimes my disciplining of my kids maybe wasn't always necessary. It was maybe more for my benefit than theirs. But I'm telling you, God only disciplines us for our good. And it's right on. So His discipline, His training, whatever He's doing in your life today is good. It's very good. It's very good because you're a child of God. You're not just somebody. You're a child of God. So as a child of God, our hope to make decisions based on faith. God will lead us according to His plan. God is our Father. He's watching over each of us. And He is the one who has at work in us to do things according to His will. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He doesn't check out. So we're on a journey. We're sojourning through this land as an alien and a stranger. You're living in a body that's called a tent in the Scripture. This body is just called a tent. This land we're in, it says we're sojourning through it. This is not our home. We're just passing through. And the body you have, you don't get to keep it. In fact, you don't want to keep it. Because it's the very body you have that tends to want to sin. The very things, the lust of the eye, our comforts, whatever else this body wants to do is where sin dwells. That's where sin still takes up residence, is in your body, the members of your body, the Scripture says. So, but that's not our identity any longer. This body is not our identity. We need to bring this body into subjection to who we are in Christ. It's a temporal body. But we have assurance of what? We have assurance of a heavenly body. And one day, we will all receive that heavenly body and be totally complete. So my hope is that we will know in our knower, You don't know where your nowhere is? That's that inner feeling inside. We'll know in our knower that God is for us. And He's continually at work helping us to mature into the stature of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Wow. So Jesus is the Creator, right? Heavens and earth, everything was created by Him. There's nothing that was created that wasn't created by Him. Everything you can think about was brought into being through Christ Jesus. We're His workmanship. Workmanship. Have you ever made anything in your life? You ever done anything and formed it and made it? That was your workmanship. Well, we are His workmanship. Yeah, that's you and me. He's whittling away. No, He's actually forming us. Maybe we need to think about that a little bit, that He's actually continually working. But there's also something that's complete. I want you to look at your life this way. If you plant an oak tree, and it's about this tall, okay? But then you go over here and the other property, and there's an oak tree this big, and it's big, and it's towering and beautiful. Okay? What's that one called? An oak tree. What's this one called? An oak tree. They're still oak trees. They're both oak trees. One's just a little more mature than the other one. So it isn't that you change who you are, but we're growing up in Christ and we're becoming mature. But we grow according to the pattern that He set in us. But I want to say something that happened. You see, you weren't always an oak tree. There was another kind of thing you were. But God has changed things. Have you ever watched a butterfly? Have you ever watched something turn from one thing into another? Have you ever watched that? You can if you ever see in this, you know, when dragonflies are coming out, they're kind of a six-legged bug. And we were up in Canada fishing with my dad and our son Joshua was there, and here's this bug. And all of a sudden the back of the bug had a big crack in it. And Josh, our son, said, "Oh, I just saw this in science." He said, "It won't take too long." He said, "It'll only take about a half an hour and this thing will be a different being." And this thing cracked open and out of this bug came this thing. And it was just a big glump. But he said, the body is all full of fluid, but now he's going to shrink down and he's going to pump all the fluid into these wings and the wings are going to go out and it's going to become a dragonfly. And I mean, I'd never seen this before, but it did. And this other shell was just gone. I mean, it was just there, and the legs were still there and everything, but this other thing came out, and it pumped, and it went out, and it started flapping these wings and drying them off, and pretty soon it took off and flew. The trouble was, is is it got confused. And then we went back out fishing, but this little dragonfly kept following us. And it come and landed right on Joshua and kind of hung around him. I think he thought that Joshua was more than just an observer. But it was cool. Well, I'm telling you, that's what's happened to you. It's called metamorphosis. It's becoming something else. So when you were born again, first you were a man or woman, and you were born of a woman without a spiritual life. But once you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you were created in Him. You were created in Him. You're a new creation. In Him. And you're just going to grow in Him according to His DNA, according to His idea. Not your idea, His idea. And that is something that gets planted in you. The life of Jesus comes in and it is going to produce in you the Lord Jesus Himself. So you've been created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand. And now we are to walk in them. So the question is, what are these good works? Who come up with these good works? Was it a list that you made? What about these good works? Who made that list? Who made that? Who's got these good works for you to do? And who's keeping track of that? These good works are what you get to do when you follow the Spirit, when you're led by Him. Did Jesus do good works on this earth? And did He do one thing? Did Jesus do one thing taking the lead? I mean, here's just God Himself. Jesus became a man. He's God. He should be able to do at least a couple things on His own. I should be able to take the lead here. But He's leaving us an example of just how it is. Jesus did nothing on His own initiative, not one thing. He only did what He saw the Father do. And He says, if we take that path, greater works will we do than what He did. But it's going to take something of a surrender, saying it's okay to do these things. These are the good works. You don't get to just make a list. I think I'll make a list. I got this agenda for my life. I'm going to get all these things done in my life, and God, You'll be pleased with this. And for those of you who know the story, Dad will come home and say, mow the yard. Remember the story? I didn't want to mow the yard, so I cleaned the garage. I said, I'm sure he'll be happy with that. Well, he was kind of happy, but he said, mow the yard. I mean, that's what he wanted me to do. Galatians 5:25 says, but we're going to live by the Spirit. Let's also walk by the Spirit. Is this a revelation to anybody? Psalm 103, verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I'm really glad that's in the Scripture. But I'm going to tell you that God does not deal with people according to their sin. What does He deal with? What is He doing? Once you see that God is not angry with you, put that in your knower. God is not angry with you, but He's committed to see you through. And if you really believe that, then fear goes away, because fear involves judgment, condemnation. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Carnal man always deals with one another according to the present circumstance. Good or bad. But it's different for God. Listen to this now. Jesus says in Matthew 5:38, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whosoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him, turn the other to him also." It's not about dealing with people according to their sin. It's not about looking at sin and then making your call. God does not deal with you according to your sin. And He's told us we shouldn't deal with one another according to their sin. Is this just a way of life? No, it's not a way of life. It's the very oak tree. It's just being an oak tree. Oak trees do what oak trees do. And those who are in Christ do what Christ does. This tree cannot produce bad fruit, and neither can the old tree produce good fruit. It's just the way the tree is. If you love God, you're born of God. If you love your neighbor, you're born of God. You can't love, really love, without being in God. So we read this and say, who can actually do this? I'm saying to you, if you read it that way, who can do it? You're reading it in unbelief. That's all. Because Christ in you does it. Every time. The Scripture is true, so we want to read the Scripture with faith, proclaiming it is so, with a resounding Amen. It is so. So be it, Lord. This is true because Jesus is true. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you truly accept this as true, then when the Holy Spirit says, turn the other cheek, you'll immediately say, yes, Lord. And the grace will be there to do it. Not before, but at that moment, it'll be there to do it. But it's not just turning the other cheek whenever. It's being led by the Spirit. You got to hear, but if you don't agree with it's true, he'll say, turn the other cheek. He'll say, not me. I'm not turning the other cheek. Put him up. Like that? Oh, I don't have time to go there. Psalm 119:11 says, your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. We must read the word and store it in our hearts. The Holy Spirit always speaks according to the word. The more you have in your heart, the easier it is for you to hear what He is saying and recognize His voice. God is not dealing with us according to our sin, but according to His purpose, according to His path. He is constantly redirecting our path to His path. It's like GPS, huh? Recalculating. Ever heard that from God? Recalculating. He's getting you on His path again. God has dealt with sin. You are not to deal with it. God dealt with it. He is now forming Christ in you with the hope of glory so that you can be true ambassadors for Him, representing Him, only Him, to the lost. All right. My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. That was Paul's goal. So if God is not disciplining us according to our sin, why does He discipline us? Which all children are disciplined. If you're not disciplined, then you are illegitimate, it says. So why then is He disciplining us? God is keeping us on the path of our destiny. He is committed to see Christ formed in you so that you can do His work on earth. Have you read James 1 lately? Verse 2? Consider it all joy, brothers, when various trials come your way. So I want to ask, is it pure joy when trials come your way? Or is it a kind of a makeshift joy? Or is there any joy? But listen to the rest of it. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Wow. Do you mean that if necessary, this trial comes because you want me to lack in nothing? You don't want me to be short of anything. But it comes through some discipline. It comes through some trial. But don't frown at the trial. I guess, you know, you're going to have a revelation. Trials are one way to form Christ in us. So until you have that revelation of God's purpose for your life, it'll be difficult at best to consider trials joy. But once you have revelation of God's purpose, then your trials become like bread, to quote a famous man, Joshua. Our provision. The trial actually leaves you lacking in nothing. Joshua said about the giant, they'll be like bread to us. Our provision. First John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. We must stop seeing this life according to my comfort, but rather see it about God's provision for me and being conformed into His image. I mean, we all go through trial. I mean, if there's one common thing in the body of Christ, it's some trial. Correct? We just have to have a new view of our trials. And we got to welcome them. Welcome the trials in your life. And know that they're a provision for you. Now, don't go looking for trials. I'm not telling you to go out searching for them. But don't shun them when they come. But know that God is in them. God is doing something. God is perfecting us. God is maturing me. God is making me who I am. And I need to welcome when things come my way. Not get all torqued out and, why me, God? Ever said that? Join the club. So we then become a displayed work of God on display for our world to see. This Friday night, we're over at Spicer's house, and Austin was teaching us something which was very important. He brought out the fact that Paul was in prison in Philippians chapter 1, and that because of his imprisonment, it was an encouragement to everybody there, and the people that were in prison were getting saved. But it was a good thing. Paul said, it's turning out to be a good thing. Wow. The guy got thrown in prison. And he was telling us, what's that guy's name over in Iraq? What's that pastor's name in Iraq? But the church in Iraq is being encouraged because of this guy. The churches that he started over there are flourishing because this man's in prison. Figure that one out, huh? We want our comfort sometimes to be our motivator rather than God's purpose. Matthew 5. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Has that verse ever bothered you? Like, oh, really? Well, I'm going to give you some good news. This tree that was planted is a perfect tree. There's nothing wrong with it. And it was planted in you. And your identity now, what does it say? I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Is that tree got something wrong with it? Is your new life in trouble? Does the new life in Christ Jesus need to be fixed? Are you busy fixing something that doesn't need to be fixed? Or have we been caught up in trying to fix up that which was destroyed? Because the cross destroyed the old man. Once and for all. Done. Finished. We are not to fix up the old man. We are not to make the old man better. Like Don Fodenhauer said, Jesus didn't come to hurt you. He came to kill you. He come to do away with the old man. He come to crucify you and give you something that's perfect. The perfection of God dwells in you. He is in you. So be. Don't become. Be perfect. Even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You start believing that, and I'll tell you, you'll have power to overcome the world. For 1 John says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is what overcomes the world, our faith. I love this verse. One of my favorites. Knowing that the same experiences are being accomplished by your brothers who are in the world. He's talking about suffering. Sometimes we think it's only me, you know. How come everybody else doesn't suffer? It's just me that suffers. Well, the truth is everybody's going through it. Everybody. But after you have suffered for just a little while, the God of all grace, who who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself, the one who said it was necessary, the one who's watching over you, the one who's calling the shots, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God's purpose of discipline is to establish you in His perfection and confirm who you are and strengthen you for the road ahead. You know that He knows the road ahead? And He's disciplining us or training us or discipling us so that we make it. He has your interest at heart every time. He will not send us on a mission we are not ready for. God is at work in you. When we rest, He works. When we work, He rests. I figure I've given God a lot of rest over the years. But more and more, I now truly believe that my life is in His hands. My times are in His hands. My trials are in His hands. My perfection is Christ in me. Sometimes, you know, I used to think, if I would just do more perfect things, I'd become perfect. No, I do perfect things because there's a perfect being in me that produces good fruit. So, if we see our brothers or sisters in any sin, right, we're to restore such a one back to the truth of who they are in Christ. And we then need to establish, confirm, just like that. We can, in our own little way, we can do that. We can perfect, confirm, and strengthen our brother. So we must not treat one another according to their sin. If God isn't treating us according to our sin, we dare not treat one another according to their sin, but believe that God is committed in doing in their life. Jesus came to open our eyes to see spiritual things with spiritual eyes. Now, listen to this now, but be careful that you are not calling spiritual what is really darkness. Be careful that you're not calling spiritual what is really darkness. The Scripture says the eye of the body is the light. Okay? But if the light you see is darkness, how great is that darkness? If you're calling spiritual what is darkness, we're in trouble. If you have a tendency to see sin, you may be looking through the wrong set of eyes. If that's what you tend to see across the board, you may be looking with a wrong set of eyes. The deceitfulness, now listen, the deceitfulness of sin is when we think we are doing God's work when we're not. You hear that? We're convinced that we're doing God's work when we're not. That's the deceitfulness of sin. It's not about, you know, getting drawn off to do some sinful deed. It's actually those who are believing with all their heart they're doing God's work and they're not. That's deception. Okay? So be careful in your dealing with sin. It has to be dealt with according to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to know what happened at the cross so that you can deal with sin according to the Word of God. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began this work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. So if we can rest in Him, believing He will perfect His love in us, Then we can believe that He'll perfect it in one another. He's going to perfect it in you. Just because it's not quite there yet, and you still have a tendency to give over to the flesh, I have full confidence in you. No, I don't. I have full confidence in God that He will complete it in you. I would just have to be looking at you, Bob. It wasn't personal, okay? Then we can love others even as we love ourselves. Do you love yourself? I tell you, if you know what Jesus did for you, you would love yourself. You'd have to love it because He did it in you. So let us continue to encourage one another, pray for one another, speak the truth to one another concerning Christ. We're all on a path designed by the Lord. He has called you according to His purpose. Sometimes we think it's all about my purpose. But it's according to His purpose. And He's also committed to helping you fulfill all that He asked you to do. Do you believe that for yourself? Then look around the room and say, I believe it for everybody here too. You know, that's a restful thought when we know that God is at work, when we know that He's committed to finish the work, and I don't have to finish it. I don't even have to finish it in me. All I have to do is put my trust in God. I don't have to finish it in you. That would be a big job. Not as big as it would be to get done for me, but it would still be big. So love never fails. God is love. He never fails. And the love we have doesn't fail. So let's love one another. I was so glad Roger brought that out today. He disappeared. He brought the word, though. So if you need some encouragement today, if you're feeling like you're under some, like Rocky said earlier, get prayer. But you know what? I'm more than happy to pray for you. But you know what? We can pray for one another. You can grab the first one you get to and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Let them pray for you. But also let someone prophesy over you. Ever have anybody prophesy over you? Have you ever thought you could prophesy over somebody? Well, as you're praying, ask the Lord. Lord, do you have a word for this person? It may just come out. It might be an encouraging word. It might be whatever. But it's the word that you're getting from God for someone else. Good deal. God is committed to see you through. You are His child, and He has called you by name. He knows you. When you walk through the fire, I'll be there, and through the flame. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You. Thank You, Lord, for today. Thank You for all that You have done here this morning. Lord, help us to grab on to that. And to be assured of who You are and be assured of who we have become, that we would no longer see ourselves according to the flesh, but we would see ourselves according to the Spirit, according to who we have become. And Lord, I pray that we, like a butterfly, would start flapping our wings and fly. We'd fly. We'd be this new person in Christ. We'd leave the old behind and grab onto that which is new. For we are a new creation in You, Lord. We've been created in You, and You have works for us to do. Lord, we want to do those works, but we can only do them as we are in You. So blessed be Your name. Amen. Amen. So, Kathy, I was wondering, should we do this song or not? And then you brought it up. When you were talking, I went right back to Bob. I said, I think we should do this. Because I wanted to ask Bob earlier, but I thought, well, So anyway,
I trust in you, O Lord. I say,